and sanctified. Receive our supplications and prayers which we offer before you for all members of your holy church, that in their vocation and ministry they may truly and godly serve you, through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Let's be seated. If you'll turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. By the way, if you're looking in the NIV, that has got to be the worst translation of this passage. That is awful. But anyway, so if you're looking there, it's not going to sound like what I'm reading to you. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 31, from now on, let those who deal with the world live as though they had no dealings with it. For the form of this world is passing away. Now, chapter 7 of 1 Corinthians, St. Paul is talking about marriage, all right? And then suddenly in verse 29, he takes this turn here. And from now on, let those who have wives live as though they had none. Okay. But in Ephesians chapter 5, St. Paul says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church. And a couple of verses later in verse 28, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. And in Colossians, Paul says, husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Somehow I have this inkling that if I were to live as though I had no wife, Miranda would not be particularly happy with me, and she would think that was harsh. She's left me. She's gone. She's not there. Anyway, she'll be back. Thank you. I needed that word of encouragement. Anyway, from now on, let those who have wives live as though they had none. And then he goes on the next verse, and those who mourn as if they were not mourning, and those who rejoice as if they were not rejoicing. When we know perfectly well that St. Paul told the church in Rome, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. And as our brother Hugh would remind us in 1 Thessalonians 5:16, rejoice always. So what is Paul saying here? Paul is saying that we are in the world, but not of the world. And that we are to live our lives in Christ. We are called to be kingdom people. And St. John really clarifies this whole idea much better than Paul does when he says in 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17, do not love the world. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but that is of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. There is a temporal kingdom, and there is an eternal kingdom. We, as brothers and sisters in Christ, are residents of the eternal kingdom, the kingdom of Christ. We are kingdom people. In Romans chapter 12, St. Paul says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that you may prove what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Our minds are renewed and transformed by our focus on Christ and on His kingdom. When we are focused on the things of this world, it distracts us from Christ, and our minds are no longer conformed to His kingdom. We are residents of the kingdom of God. We are kingdom people. And when did this kingdom begin? When did this kingdom come? What are you saying? When did this new creation begin in Christ? Nope, not always. Not at the cross. At the incarnation. When Christ came and was born in the flesh, He broke in. What Father David preached about this is Christmas. He broke into this kingdom with His light and His truth and His kingdom. And so when did our eternal life in Him begin? When did we become residents of this kingdom that He has brought? At our baptism. We were baptized into Christ, into His kingdom. And we maintain connection to Christ and to His kingdom with regular reception of the Holy Eucharist, His body and His blood. That is our life. What's the word I'm looking for? It's the connection that we have with the kingdom. And it renews us, it feeds us, it nourishes us. And we maintain our contact with Him. And so when did the end of the world begin? You know, this is, people, it was worse, I think, back in the 90s. I'm not sure, it may be just as bad now. I don't spend any time on the internet looking at this stuff, but people are so concerned about, you know, Christ coming again. And I've heard a lot of that about 2024, that, you know, all the signs point to that this is going to be the end of the world. And da-da-da-da-da-da. So when is it going to end? When did the end begin? At Pentecost. At Pentecost. When the Holy Spirit was given to the church, that put us at direct odds with the world. And it spelled the end of this world, which is passing away. I mean, take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 7 again. From now on, let those who deal with the world live as though they had no dealings with it, for the form of this world is going to pass away. Hear this. The form of this world is passing away. And in 1 John, which we just read, and the world passes away. It's something that's happening right now with the coming of the Holy Spirit and with the empowering of the people of God in the kingdom of God, and who those who are residents of that kingdom are bringing about the end, the passing of this world, and the establishment of the world in Christ. Okay? His kingdom is an eternal kingdom. It is now. It came with the incarnation. It is ongoing and it is eternal. And the evil one is constantly battling against this kingdom. In Mark chapter 13, which is part of what's called the Little Apocalypse, Mark chapter 13, verses 19 and 20, it says, in those days, there will be such tribulation as has not been from the beginning of creation, which God created until now and never will be. And if the Lord had not shortened the days, no human being would be saved. But for the sake of the elect whom he chose, he shortened the days. This whole idea of looking forward, looking toward a rapture that we might be taken up and out of the tribulation, you're missing it. It's happening right now. I was thinking while we were singing and praying, and I was just thinking about, imagine living in Grindavik, Iceland. I'm sure you would believe the end of the world has come. That's where the volcano is erupting and houses are burning and the whole thing is falling apart. Or if you live in the Ukraine or Gaza or, you know, any place that difficult times are going on, that's because it's happening now. It is an ongoing reality. The shortening of the days is God's love for his people. And we are not avoiding the tribulation. We are ministers in the midst of the tribulation. We are called to be the light of Christ in the midst of the darkness. We are called to bring the truth and the glory of God into the times when times are most difficult. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 29, the beginning of this epistle that we just read, Paul says, I mean, brethren, the appointed time has grown very short. The appointed time is now. It is time. And Paul is instructing the faithful on how to live in these times of tribulation. He expects us to be active in ministering to the suffering. We are here, and we are to live in Christ. We are in the world, but not of the world. Let those who deal with the world live as though they had no dealings with it. We are kingdom people, and our focus is on Christ and his kingdom. As Father Chris got the song on last Sunday at the quiet day, turn your eyes upon Jesus. I can't sing as well as Father Chris, but the whole kind, turn your... You'll have to do
eyes upon Jesus, the Lord is and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace.
That's it. When we have our eyes on Jesus, the things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. You know, if this preoccupation with looking for the end times, if we are busy looking for the signs of the end times, then we are not busy looking at Jesus. If we're busy looking for the signs of the end times, we're not looking upon Jesus. The things of this world are distractions, and the enemy wants to make these things our focus. So, if we are called to minister in these troubled times, what do we do? What's the message that Paul is giving us? Paul instructs us that the gifts were given to the church for what purpose? Say again.
The common good.
And to equip the saints for service. Exactly. Exactly. Paul instructs us that the gifts are there for us. And it's so how do we equip the saints? Yes, you put on the whole armor of God. That's very important. We're going into battle. You do need to be properly equipped with the whole armor of God. But we also need to have the gifts of the Spirit to do the ministry to which Christ has called us. If these are the end times, then more now than ever do we need the Holy Spirit gifts. Seek. Find. Ask. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, it says, seek the gifts of God. He's saying, ask for them. And be equipped. And I think more important now than ever, we need the gifts, yes, of prophecy, that's very important, but wisdom. Wisdom. Knowledge. Knowledge of the will and the purposes of God. Knowledge of the things that God is calling us to do and to provide. But also, I think more now than ever, we need to have the gift of healing. If you're in a battle, there will be wounded. We need the gift. Ask, brothers and sisters, I believe more now than ever, that we need to ask for these gifts. Again, if you want to get that list, there's multiple lists in the scriptures, but 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 14 are very important. There's the list of spiritual gifts in 12, and then Paul says in chapter 14, 1 Corinthians, follow the way of love and eagerly desire the spiritual gifts. We are residents of the kingdom. I'm sorry, I really feel like I've kind of stumbled all through this, so please forgive me, okay? But this is so important, and I just feel so convicted that this is what God is saying to this parish right now. We are residents of the kingdom of God, and we are kingdom people. And we need to keep our focus on Him and allow Him to fill us, to equip us, and to send us out in His power and in His glory. Live as having no dealings with this world. Yes. But have a great love of Christ for those who we minister to. We need to live in and for Jesus Christ. Amen.